Today's Perek in Tanakh is Yehoshua Perek Chav Gimel. And we have just completed the wonderful story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. And in fact, the Sidorim, which are the organization of the splitting up according to the Mesorah, as opposed to the way that the Goyim have split it up, and even as opposed to the way that the Parshios are split up, there's another content issue which is defined by the Sidorim. It's interesting that the closing Seder, according to the Mesorah, begins with the closing Pasuk of what was in the previous parasha. Vayikra'u v'nei Reuven v'nei Gad l'mizbeach. Clearly the word aid is missing, as Rashi points out. Mikra katza. They have now created an aid. And this aid is in all places. Those, for those who live in Gilad, which of course itself is the original place of Eidus, Gal Eid. And so it's almost a play on the original understanding of Gal Eid being the place in which Lavan and Yaakov come to an agreement not to disturb each other. So on the surface, this is just the opposite. This is an understanding of an Eidut, yes, to disturb each other, that we're completely, our lives are completely wrapped up. Interestingly enough, the relationship between the closing Pasuk and the next Perek actually brings us back to the issues of Gal Eid, as we'll see in a moment. What's happened is that B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven represent the highest moment of the achievement of Yisrael. We know this because the Medrash traces the fact that the next 300 years, Klal Yisrael was protected, basically, despite not doing what they were supposed to be doing, back to the bracha that Yehoshua gave to B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven, and that is the raya that they were kiblu mol malchus shamayim, Belev Shalem, Be'ava, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu views them, as the Medrash puts it, as children, B'shulchan Aviyam, where there's a lot of tolerance. And it was all out of love. The problem is that that wasn't clearly true about what was going on with the rest of the nation. Because we are now at the end of Yehoshua's life. And Vayimi Yamim Rabim, Achrei Asheri Niyach Adonai L'Yisrael, Mikol Aviyam Yisaviv, V'Yehoshua Zaken, Babi Amin. Now, what's happening over here is that, as the Seder Elam points out, we know that we have a Kabbalah that Yehoshua was Befarnes Klal Yisrael for 28 years, which means that we're holding down the 28th year of the Kibush. The 14 years were the Sheva Shekavshu and the Sheva Shechil. So when we say Mi Amim Rabim Acharei, it's basically doubling that time. So that originally we had 14 years, now we have 14 years. We know that at the beginning of the second stage, which was the beginning of Nachala, it began with Yehoshua Zaken Baviyamin. Now, he wasn't really ready to die, but he was Zaken. And Kolev makes a very big fuss about this. You've become an old man, we were friends, we were kids together when we were young, and now I'm 85, makes no difference to me. I feel exactly like I did when I was 40, no difference to me. But you've become an old man. And therefore, I'm the one that's going to go ahead, and I'll be Kovish Heaven, and so on. The end of that story was that Yehoshua accepted this, goes ahead, we go wrong with the Kibush, everything seems fine. Everything seems fine until this moment. All of a sudden, we've jumped ahead by 14 years, and guess what? Nothing has happened. Now, that's a horrifying thing. In other words, we started off with this unbelievable enthusiasm. This is a book that begins with repeating again and again, Chazak v'yamatz. This is all about Divrei Torah tzrichim chizuk and Divrei Milchama tzrichim chizuk and the interactions in which everybody is ready to go to war if necessary with B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven, or we're ready to give away half our property to B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven. Just don't make problems. It's important for all of us to be together in the bris. We find ourselves here 14 years later, and Yehoshua is old. That's what we said originally. But the words Yehoshua were old, remember, became a theme in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not getting the job done. You're not going to get the job done, which is what triggered Kolev. It means that you, who were once the enthusiastic one, and whose entire schus of being the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to take his place is because you are a nar, are suddenly no longer a nar. So we now view you as having lost the main thing that recommended you. We never looked at you. Klal Yisrael never looked at Yehoshua as a zokein in the sense of his chokhmah. And I'm going to prove that to you in a moment. But we know the original Medrash. They called him the ksil. That's the pasuk in Mishle. The only reason that he was zeicha, because they recognized that this tremendous zrizus that he had and the commitment that he had and the chazak v'amatz. This is what they say to him originally up at the beginning of the Sefer. Listen, the important thing is, as long as you're going to be okay, you know, we'll do whatever you say. But just chazak v'amatz. Let's not make any kind of compromises on that. So that means that these words are very, very telling. And of course, every time Chazal tells us that we get the word vayihi, we have problems. So we are in, and the word yomim rabim, we said before, yomim shel tzar. But those were yomim shel tzar because of the milchama. Those were the 7 years of the milchama. So why are we referring now to a time of menucha? Acharei asher iniach Hashem liyisrael mikol oyveihem misaviv, we call the yomim rabim? So that means that we're being put on notice over here that there is a problem that Yoshua is zaken. And what has happened is what happens to all revolutions. All the hippies get old. That's basically what happens. The revolution becomes now the new institution. The new institution starts decaying and becomes basically everything you thought you were running away from. Yeah? So this is now Yoshua at the end of his life, almost as a tragic figure. Everything that I dreamt of and everything that people were telling me when I first took over was that I'm the guy that can get it done. And now I'm just dealing with people that don't have any energy. The whole attitude is a lackadaisical attitude. It's been 14 years where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us 21 years ago that we have the Eretz HaNish Eretz and that each Shevet's got to take responsibility. Nothing is happening. Everybody's very happy where they are. So now this has turned into some kind of, you know, typical religious kind of thing. That's just like everybody else. You had a war, you had a victory, and 14 years later, the kids have grown up, I'm getting lazy, I don't want to do anything, I'm feeling very comfortable. Vayikra Yehoshua l'chol Yisrael. This is his last chance. Because he senses now that he's the end of his days. So he calls them all together to try to re-energize and clarify what has got to be if this is going to be successful. So he calls them all together. It doesn't say where, but it says he called Zikenav Uloroshav, Uloshoftav, Uloshotrav. Now that's strange because when Moshe Rabbeinu called everybody together, he called the Roshim and the Zikenim. Yoshua instead calls the Zikenim and the Roshim. Why? It says the Medrash, because everybody was Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud. And therefore, he put it in order what was important to him, not because of their Chochmah, the Zekenim, but because it's a political statement and it needs to be made in terms of Roshim. Yoshua couldn't do that because they weren't Mekabalim as their Rov. So he needed to talk to the Zekenim as the Zekenim. So he needed to mention the Zekenim first. But of course, there's another remez here. The other remez is that Yoshua, being Zaken, needs to deal with Zakenim. The reason that we see that that is very powerful is that the entire Mesir of Klal Yisrael was not to a Melech and not to a Rosh, it was Lizakenim, Yoshua Lizakenim. So what started at the beginning of the book is Moshe Masrat Torah Yoshua, at the end of the life where Yoshua becomes a Zaken, not in a good way, and Zaken is Zeshekad HaChachma, but in a way that's contradictory to his connection to Teres Baishel Chatzila, can only give over Teres to the Zakenim, who are also not all that successful, who are not Marich Yam Shanim, as Chazal pointed out. They're only Marich Yamim, as we'll see later on the Diyuk. So he calls the Zakenav Roshav Shoftav Ashotrav, Vayomar Le'amani Zakanti Bati Be'amim. V'atem re'item et kol asher asah Adonai Elohechem l'chol ha'goyim ha'ele b'pneichem. You know that everything that's been achieved, it's not been achieved because of you, it's been achieved because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who fought for you. Of course, these are taken directly word from word from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hu yilachem lachem. Hu anilcham lachem. You saw it happen. Lo nafal davar. Ru'i palti lachem et ha'goyim ha'nisharim ha'ele b'nachal ha'leshevtechem. Do you remember 21 years ago? We sat there in Shiloh, and I made the Nachalot according to what was going to be. And you were going to be the ones responsible to get these guys. And Yosef was complaining, and we threw it back in his face. And what happened, huh? Mina Yardein, v'chol ha'goyim asher yichrati, v'ayam ha'gadol mevo ha'shemesh. Even the things that you didn't have, all the goyim ha'nisharim, right? I split it all up because it was now meant to be given into your hands. V'adonai Elohechem hu yehed afei mipneichem. V'orish otam liftechem. V'yirishtem et artzam kasher diber Adonai Elohechem lachem. V'chazaktem me'od. What's going on with you guys? So this is basically the last words of Tochach of Yoshua that are going to take place in two different locations and that take up two different tones in two different prakim. So this is the first part of the last words of Tochacha of Yoshua. And of course, Chazal compare this b'chlal to the concept of Tochacha before death, that where the manik is on his last opportunity to be mochiyah, that Tochacha is more powerful, less likely to cause a breakdown in the relationship between the am and the manik, and less likely to ultimately be belittled by the repetition, like a parent who keeps saying to clean up your room, in which those words mean absolutely nothing after the 396th time. And so Mamela, in order, now this is the matter, in order not to be, in order not, no, then it's too late, that's the point. Then even on your deathbed it won't make any difference. So therefore, this is the only time now that a tochacha can be shelo yochichem v'yachzor v'yochichem, and we know what that means. Who was exactly, we say, Shmuel, Moshe, Yoshua, they all did it this way. And therefore, you need to get yourselves back into shape, guys. V'chazaktem ha'od. L'shmor v'lasot et kol ha'katuv b'sefer Torat Moshe. L'vilti sur mimenu yamin v'smol. L'vilti b'vo b'aguyim ha'ela nisharim ha'ela yitchem. Now, we talked about Galed. The point of Galed was, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You stay where you belong. We stay where we belong. It's almost a statement of, we don't like britot with people like you. So Lamaisa, the inclusion of the closing pasuk of the aid of the Mizbeach, that is supposed to be in Gal Eid, essentially, really relates to the concept of Gal Eid as being not only a monument, but a monument of clarity of division. Our relationship is with the Shvatim and not with the Goyim Misvilenu. If Yoshua finds it necessary at this point of all crazy things, where we're standing here at the edge of all of these Goyim, in order to invade them and wipe them out and so on. And now he says, basically, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's very convenient. We're getting along just fine. The economy's rolling along. Why should we wipe these going out? Maybe we should actually, you know, make even formalization of our fine relationships. It seems a little bit primitive to go around and start mowing people down. So I'm sure that's what you're thinking, because everything's going well. And I'm telling you, that we need to be mitchazek. And as the Gemara says, whenever you use the word chazak, it means that there is a dangerous netiyah in a particular direction. So that means he senses now the netiyah to become part of the goyim. So I'm telling you, levil tivo bagoyim ela nisharim ela yitchem. Ubeshem Elohim lo taskiru, velo tashbiu, velo ta'avdum, velo tashtahavu lahem. Look, the only hatzlacha that we've had is whatever level of dveikus that you've been able to achieve. This is all supernatural. This is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu being nilcham lachem. You're saying that it was done b'derech hateva. Believe me, the moment that you stop being mizdabek, you'll see that in the same way that all this was given to you, it'll be just as quickly taken away from you. V'yoresh Adonai mipnechem goyim gedolim ve'atzumim. And this is, again, a takeoff on what Moshe said, word for word, right?
What does that mean?
What's that?
What does that mean?
And you, what is your situation? You have been able, because of this vacus. Basically, Yeru kol v'amayar, ki shem Hashem elokechem nikra alechem v'yeru mikem. They can't stand up against you. But why is that? Because of the vacus. Because I'm telling you right now, ki im shov tashuvu. Udvaktem, note the contrast of the dveikut. You need to be dovuk l'Hashem Elokechem. That's what, but if you turn around, and instead of being dovuk to Hashem, you end up to be dvaktem b'yeter agoyim ela nisharim ela yitchem. And you should know that that's your choice. It's either b'Hashem Elokechem tidbaku, or there's going to be another dveikut, because that's how it goes. And then it's going to be itchatantem b'hem, ubatem b'hem, b'hem b'chem. Sure, we're all one happy family. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu had said, and he said it in the inverse, right? Basically, it was meant to be understood in both ways. So indeed, one of you has ended up chasing an elef. Ki Adonai Elohechem hu anilcham lachem asher diber lachem. Indeed, it was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was the one who did all of this for you. And therefore, the only possible way, I mean, we've heard these words, in terms of Torah as a whole and so on. This is an incredible statement. If it's not going to be love, it's going to be the exact opposite. There's no middle path. You're not going to be able to stay here in Eretz Yisrael, have no love, but have some kind of religious commitment and believe that you're going to be able to survive in Eretz Yisrael in this fashion. This is basically, as the Sifurno taught us at the beginning, in the Sugya of HaGrizim and HaReval, where he pointed out that either, and that's the reason that on that very day, according to those Shitas, they had to travel 120 kilometers without resting, without having a moment in Eretz Yisrael where you set your foot down and you feel at home. You have to first have that break. The teacher says, the Sifurno, there's no such thing as being comfortable in Eretz Yisrael. You will never be comfortable. It's either excellence or disaster. There is no mediocrity. You cannot survive in this country if it's going to be a mediocre survival. And here is Yehoshua, and basically everything's become mediocre. And therefore he is the first person that ever made this level of demand, and it's an astonishing thing. But here, at this moment, after was B'nai Yod V'nai Reuven, that already 14 years ago were the ones that had gotten close to Yehoshua. Remember, they were the ones who were the messengers at the beginning of the Sefer. It all started with B'nai Yod V'nai Reuven. He comes to them to remind them about their duties. And they say to him, listen, buddy, anybody who does anything against you, you know, we'll take care of that. But only one thing. One thing is, you need to be Rak Chazak V'Yemetz. That closing was said by them. And therefore, when he's coming now to tell Yisrael, you are the ones that haven't been Chazak V'Yemetz, it includes a reference basically to, at least subconsciously, to the Mizbeach in Galed. Or Mizbeach about Galed, obviously, located in Galed. And so now Yehoshua demands love, or bust. Kim Shov Tashuv, because if you're going to turn around, and instead of what I've said to you before, Kim Badunay Elohechem Tidbaku, back at Pasuk Chet, you're going to end up without love. I'll tell you where that Dveikut is going to go, because it's going to go somewhere. Udvaktem b'yetra goyim ha'ela nisharim ha'ela yitchem. The very Eretz ha'nisharet that you were supposed to have taken care of over the past 14 years and didn't do a darn thing about. I know what you're thinking. The end result is you're going to become one with them, attached to them. V'itchantantem b'hem, uvatem b'hem, v'hem b'chem, you're going to end up intermarrying. You're going to end up assimilating them. They're going to assimilate you. And you're going to have a nice multicultural country. You think. You should know that you've been able to maintain this situation only because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maintaining an abnormal situation. It's not normal for you to have been able to be Moorish this land. And if you turn around, you should know the very goyim that you feel you've got the upper hand over, they're not going to be yours to have an upper hand over. They are going to be basically cudgels. They're going to be thorns. They're going to be bombs. They're going to be mokshim. They're going to destroy you until in the end, your achiz of Eretz Yisrael will be gone. Look, I'm basically, I've come to the end of my life. I need you to acknowledge with all your hearts, with all your soul. There's nothing from the point of view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you didn't have. And whatever it is that you don't have is because you didn't take advantage of it. And I need you to acknowledge that with all your heart. Don't start arguing that, well, if only. There was no well, if only. You had every possible opportunity. And you still have every opportunity. You've seen that the Brit was mekuyam. Every good thing. It happened. Well, I'm telling you right now. You think that the bad parts, they don't happen. Only the good parts happen. Well, let me assure you that ad hashmidu etchem mi'al adama hatova hazot asher natan lachem Adonai Eloheichem. Exactly the way that all the good happens, every last word of the bad will happen. You'll be wiped out. You'll be thrown out of this country. You're not going to be able to have an achiza. Bo'ovrechem et brit Adonai Eloheichem asher tziva etchem v'alachtem v'avatem li ma'achirim v'shtachavitem lahem v'chara af Adonai b'chem v'avatem me'ira mi'al aretz hatova asher natan lachem. So that means that what he's asking is an acknowledgement of the highest ideals of the Torah. He's repeating words of Moshe Rabbeinu who came out word for word, in some places literally word for word. And what I need you to do is to recognize b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshech. I need you to acknowledge it. I want to hear it from you. And this is the next step. I want to take you, and I want to hear it from you. I'm going to go in tomorrow's parak to make, basically, a new understanding that lasts us till the end of time, because it's an understanding that we quote every single Leil Pesach as we come into our identity as a nation, the words of Yehoshua and these Ma'amad in the next parak in the city of Shechem.
Like Ben Gurion said, if you're in Eretz Israel, if you don't believe in miracles, then you're not being realistic.
It's a beautiful way to put it, and it's exactly what Yehoshua is saying now. To all of Yisrael, the ultimate words that he said to Yosef when they came around complaining, what do we do about the tanks? You know, there's Rechav Barzel. If you don't understand that the situation that you're in is completely supernatural, then you don't have a chance. Once you're going to start talking about the mechanics, about tanks, this is what you're worried about? You're coming to talk to me about tanks? And I'm telling you, Lo Amad Ish Bifnechem, you're going through basically miraculous, completely supernatural kind of thing in which a small population of people that are coming from nowhere are going to be attacking entrenched people for centuries and who are protecting their own homelands. And this you think you're going to be able to hold. That is as crazy as believing that the modern state of Israel has some potential of standing up against 200 million Arabs. It's absurd. It can't possibly happen. To speak about a demographic problem is the understatement of the century. So either you're here with an understanding that it's Dveikas Bashem, and that only in the ultimate sense. It's got to be Be'ava, it's got to be Botid Boku, the things that Moshe Rabbeinu sounded like he was talking about. You know, I mean, this is your ultimate vision. Yehoshua is saying, this is no ultimate vision. This is either your bottom line reality, or there's not going to be any Achiza in Eretz Yisrael. That is amazing that Ben Gurion, who doesn't have any of this emunah, is nonetheless expressing the reality of what every Ben Yisrael ultimately knows. This is just what we are. It's not something that we can just do.
So the question is with the issues with the settlers right now, and they're going very strong against Netanyahu with the 10-month moratorium to not build, you know, are they ignoring the realities of needing to bomb Iran and other things, and the UN being approached by the Palestinians, unilaterally approach the state? I mean, how does this apply? Are they exemplary of what Yeshua is saying to do, or are they against it?
So Lemaisa, we found that at the moment of the Meraglim, and that's so central to the book of Yehoshua, is the interrelationship of Yehoshua and Kolev as being the only of the Meraglim that made it, and that this becomes now very thematic. At that moment, there was an alternative to the Meraglim. And it turns out, amazingly, that it was exactly the same as the Meraglim themselves. The alternative was the Ma'apilim. So thereafter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, if that's the way it is, then I'm not going to go through with this. So then you decide, okay, so you know what? We believe in it strongly enough, we'll make it happen. Im tamino im zu agada. You know, as long as you believe in it, it'll happen. That, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm begging you, don't do this. This is exactly the same thing. It's the same taking a point of view that's basically living in the matrix and pretending that it's reality. You can't continue to go without that dveikut, without that ava, and say, lo yamod ish bifaneinu. That's no different than saying kochi votzem yadi. The fact that you invoke the name of God is irrelevant. Not only that, even if you personally are on the darga to be able to evoke that, it also wouldn't matter. It's breast cancer. Because Lemaisa, this is the whole introduction to this story of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. They say the most amazing thing. It's either going to be all of us or it's not going to happen. If we're going to be rejected by you, we're not going to be able to survive. Despite the fact that we're 100,000 people, a million people, however, makes absolutely no difference. This is survival in the context of Arvut. And this is exactly what B'nai Yisrael responded to them when they built that Mizbeach. Don't you understand that if you in any way think differently and want to live with your own Aveda, you're destroying all of us, not just you. And therefore, this is war to the death. There's nothing that we can compromise on. So that means, just as Yoshua is saying now, in the undercurrent of his words, is just as much blaming them for his own personal state of hopelessness, Yush being able to achieve this, Zikna, the loss of his Naharut, is always a question of his own interrelationship with the people that are around him. You know, you started off by telling me Chazak V'Amatz, and the only guys that did it were the guys who told me that. It was B'nai God of B'nai Reuven, and now what's happened? It means that unless it's going to be with this understanding of the same Arvut, the same Edut, and the same commitment of the Chazak V'Amatz that we saw L'Chatchila, Chazak Tem Me'od, then we can just forget about this dream. And Lamaisa, as we know, what happened is that there never was an achievement at this point of a full Klal Yisrael. We go directly from here into the Yemei HaShoftim. The Yemei HaShoftim means Yishkol HaYashav Ein Aviyasa. It means that we never achieved the Gibush, as they say today, of Klal Yisrael. Never became a totality. It required one guy that starts going every year to try to encourage people even to go up to the Mishkan. That's how broken up it was. There was no best, and it would go from place to place to prevent Pelegish Begiva. The first thing that brought people to their senses was Pelegish Begiva. The first time we see the type of reaction, which we'll talk about, that is similar to the days of B'nai God of B'nai Reuven. So what Yoshua was omed on here was something very, very profound that concerned him desperately, and then indeed end up defining the next 300 years. So in the same way that his bracha defined Latova the next 300 years, it wasn't because it worked. It was because you had that one moment in which we all can appreciate how great this was, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself could say, okay, you know what? They're bonim lo yishakeru. So even if it goes bad, I'm going to keep them on my table. But that only lasted until the end of that period.